Welcome to Elevating Pikes Peak Women, a podcast production of Pikes Peak Women. I'm your host, Mary Lou Makepeace, and this podcast will be bringing you content relevant to the women of the Pikes Peak region in order to help them get engaged, get empowered, and make a difference in our community. Pikes Peak Women was established in 2011 in response to a need to address critical issues involving women, issues like pay equity, healthcare reform, women's rights, and social equity. Pikes Peak Women also provides forums where women can learn how to engage, become politically active, join local boards, take leadership positions, and run for office. We do this as an independent, nonpartisan organization in collaboration with other organizations whose missions support and strengthen ours. So let's dive right in. Who is, or should I say, who are Pikes Peak Women? This is Mary Lou Makepeace, and I welcome you to this segment of Elevating Pikes Peak Women, in which we endeavor to answer that question, who are Pikes Peak Women? I think we're a pretty interesting group, as you will hear in the following podcast. We're of all ages, some pretty young, just beginning their careers and community engagement, to some like Marcy Morrison and me, who've been around the block, so to speak, and everything in between. As you listen to our voices, you will hear that while our interests and backgrounds are diverse, we have one common interest, and that's the well-being of our beloved Colorado Springs and the desire to recognize the many vital roles women are playing in our community. You'll hear the why we are personally engaged. You'll hear what we've been doing, and you'll hear what we hope for the future. Sit back, relax, and find out who are Pikes Peak Women. Who are you? What's your background? And this is kind of a multi-part question, so if you need me to repeat part of it, I certainly will. Your main reason for being with PPW, Pikes Peak Women, and how long you've been involved. All of that is one question.
I'm Marcy Morrison. I've lived in this area now for, I don't know, maybe 60 years. I have discovered that women's organizations many times do not last as many years as I think they should. Well, my background is I and my husband moved here in the 60s, and I worked as a teacher out at Fort Carson, and he was working on passing the bar. So we were two busy young people. He ended up being the county commissioner. I decided to do something. I was getting bored staying home. And so I volunteered at my temple. And then I found the League of Women Voters after I finished my 10 years as a school board member, because someone said to me, you know, you've been on the school board for such a long time, and there's this opening on the county commissioner in this area, District 3. Why don't you run for it? But I decided to do it, and I was a woman, and there had not been a woman on the county commissioner board for many years.
So then you jumped into Pikes Peak Women. Thank goodness. We're glad you're here.
Yeah. Well, I also was the mayor of Manitou.
Oh, I forgot about that. And why did you come over to Pikes Peak Women? Tell us that.
Well, someone encouraged me, and they encouraged me because they said, well, these women are really interesting. They have lots of get up and go. And I thought, well, I could use a little get up and go at this point. And they take on issues that really affect the entire community. And that I liked as well, because it's the people that make the community. You don't have the people.
Well, I think that you were with Pikes Peak Women since the very beginning, were you not?
I believe I was. I can remember we met at a coffee shop for quite a while.
Yeah, that's
a couple of
that's
years.
About the time I came around, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I say, I'm darn glad you're here.
Well, thank you.
Let's turn to Melissa.
Who are you? What's your background? And this is kind of a multi-part question, so if you need me to repeat part of it, I certainly will. Your main reason for being with PPW, Pikes Peak Women, and how long you've been involved? All of that is one question.
So, Melissa Martz, And I've been with Pikes Peak Women for 10 years, which is hard to believe. Even 11. How I came to Pikes Peak Women was I was incredibly fortunate to be the new executive director of the Women's Resource Agency shortly after Pikes Peak Women had kind of gotten together. And so I just really fell into a role with Pikes Peak Women that I was grateful to be able to be in that position and be that support. And I have kind of a long history of advocacy and kind of working on, you know, kind of the voice of the underdog, so to speak. There is an element of how do we get our voices heard as women of color. And Pikes Peak Women has come a long way in making that something that is an asset to our region. You know, my background, I have a master's degree in special education and an undergrad in neuropsych. So I, you know, taught for years and worked with people with disabilities for years. So kind of a combination of education on one side, but advocacy as well. It's just been, for me, a real interesting path over my many years in this area of just kind of seeing how people can kind of coexist and get along better. And I think that that's where Pikes Peak Women continues to have a platform to bring women to the table and be a voice. And I'm glad to be a part of it.
And why did you want to be part of Pikes Peak Women?
When I was the executive director of the Women's Resource Agency and I was asked that our agency would continue to support Pikes Peak Women, I thought that was great. But ultimately, the real reason was because of Mary Lou Makepeace.
Let's move on to the next question. Marcy, I'm going to come back to you. And the question is, what is the most important thing that Pikes Peak Women has accomplished in 13 years?
We have brought people to meetings and to events that I don't think we would see. I was going to say rarely see. I'm not sure if we would ever see them. People who are in particular careers, you might never see these people. I feel that way about politics. I have met people in politics who are absolutely delightful.
So I kind of have two answers to that. I think the first one is I have really appreciated and I think seen the benefit of how Pikes Peak Women really pulls together the nonprofit sector and women leadership sector to have a place where we can kind of celebrate what is happening in that area. I think Pikes Peak Women acknowledging and really reaching out to women in the business sector and government sector and other sectors who have been hired into or appointed into positions of leadership to have opportunity to interview those women and meet them, I think has been just a real asset for what Pikes Peak Women has done. I'm super proud of what Pikes Peak Women has accomplished is just the podcast recordings. Yes, they are hard work. And yes, it requires a lot of individuals putting time and energy into it. But to be able to record the stories and the interviews, to have that ongoing record, I think is really priceless and so worth the effort to be able to capture these interviews and stories and different perspectives of history in the Pikes Peak region.
Well, let me kind of flip that question, and I'll go to Melissa first here. What do you think the future holds for Pikes Peak Women?
Well, for me right now, I think leadership of women in elected roles and leadership of women of color or women with disabilities in those roles.
What do you think the future holds for Pikes Peak Women?
Well, I would hope that Pikes Peak Women will continue to...
Who are you? What's your background?
And this is kind of a multi-part question, so if you need me to repeat part of it, I certainly will. Your main reason for being with PPW, Pikes Peak Women, and how long you've been involved? All of that is one question.
I'm Beth Hall Rolstad, currently the CEO of Homeward Pikes Peak, and
I think I've been involved with Pikes Peak Women for 12 or more years. I started my involvement when I was the executive director of the Women's Resource Agency. I believe that, you know, the reason I was involved and continue to be involved is I believe in the power of elevating women's voices and highlighting women's contributions to community as a vital piece of, you know, the fabric of a healthy community, but also to ensure that interests that women tend to care about more are advanced in community and especially the place where I live.
Who are you? What's your background? And this is kind of a multi-part question, so if you need me to repeat part of it, I certainly will. Your main reason for being with PPW, Pikes Peak Women, and how long you've been involved? All of that is one question.
I'm Lindy Conter. I have been with Pikes Peak Women since its inception, along with Beth and Mary Lou Makepeace and Marcy Morrison. My background is I was an attorney for children, for the most part. I was a county attorney for Teller County, handling women's issues, children, and the elderly. So when I couldn't do that any longer, because it's very heart-wrenching to be working with children the whole time, as Beth knows, I started a career as a volunteer and worked mostly, still stayed in the women's and children's area, making sure that those interests were taken care of. And I'm here because I really believe that women need an equal voice in all pieces of the community, political, business, social, whatever it is. And that's what Pikes Peak Women has meant to me, at least.
What is the most important thing that Pikes Peak Women has accomplished in 13 years?
The evolution of this podcast, I think, has been one of our more successful initiatives, and it grew out of bringing people together. We used to do it in person almost quarterly, and you know, we had probably 50 or 100 people involved in those in-person meetings. And when COVID struck in 2020, we sat in my backyard, actually, and we're talking about what are we going to do to help women stay connected. As an avid podcast listener, me and a couple other people said, why don't we do a podcast? It'll be so fun. And here we are 4 years later. We still haven't gone back to the in-person meetings as much as we had in the past.
Beth said, and a few others, why don't we do a podcast? And those of us who are over 45 or 50 years old at the time said, what the heck is a podcast? And it has been a real connector for Pikes Peak Women. It has been a very varied audience that we have, because we have done podcasts on subjects like new women in leadership, either in business or in education, whatever it has been. We have done things on every aspect where women are having a voice now. And I think that's the most important thing that we've done, is made sure that women's voices are being heard in each piece of the community.
What do you think the future holds for Pikes Peak Women?
I'd like us to continue the podcast. I think that we have creative following, and I think that as a locally produced podcast, you know, our listeners are mostly local or have been, you know, sometimes you have to circle back to an issue to see if it's made progress or have made gains. And, you know, something on my mind that I know affects society on the whole is mental health and well-being. And I'm grateful that this is a conversation that has sprung into.
Well, I think one thing we will continue to be doing is our signature event once a year, at least, without a podcast, which is Wine, Women, and Chocolate, which brings in women from 12 different women's organizations that support the cause in various organizations, ZANTA, American Association of University Women, Citizens Project, all of those that have a piece of the legislation. So we will continue to do that. But I think several of the more important issues that we're going to be still facing, one of them is still pay equity.
I think that one of the goals of Pikes Peak Women has been to engage women of all ages. And I think that's still a struggle, because I think finding the time to use your voice and to be engaged is challenging when you are juggling a family or you're juggling
work and other responsibilities, but it's really hard to engage women across the lifespan. I would like to see Pikes Peak Women to continue to work on an intergenerational advocacy platform, but I think we need to plan for the future. If this group is going to have a sustainability, we need to be including and engaging people so that, you know, when we have transitions, we have the woman power to continue this advocacy group.
Who are you? What's your background? And this is kind of a multi-part question, so if you need me to repeat part of it, I certainly will. Your main reason for being with PPW, Pikes Peak Women, and how long you've been involved? All of that is one question.
I am Moni Hernandez, owner of Viva Digital Marketing and Fiestas Patrias. Who is Moni? That's a really, really good question. I would have to say I am a Latina. I am a mom. I'm a hard worker. I overwork myself a lot. My background is radio. I did radio for about 20 years. I've done radio in different markets. And that's kind of where I was born, per se. That's where I got my passion from serving people and helping people. I would have to say that in 2020, when COVID hit and everything went crazy, my personal life got a little crazy as well. What am I going to do with myself? Where am I going? So during that time, I was connected with Joyce Salazar from the Rise Coalition, and she was like, maybe you could come out and help us and, you know, do some stuff. And at the time, I was the vice chair for the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And I was like, no, I don't have time. I'm just focusing on the Hispanic Chamber and being a mom right now, trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. I decided to open up my own digital marketing agency. I didn't want to work for anybody. The main reason was that I'm a single mom at the point, and I couldn't afford daycare, right? So I said, I'm just going to open up my own marketing company. I got an email one day and it said, we want to get together because we want to know more about Latinas. And this is during the pandemic. And it came from Pikes Peak Women. That's kind of my passion, and that's my forte, is the Hispanic market, right? So we met and they said, well, we kind of would like to get a lot of Latina women together and kind of go over the stats that they had received from the AAUW. When we were meeting with them, I said, okay, we can get together and I can definitely, you know, get together with the other Latina women and we can definitely do this. But who are you guys? What do you guys do? I would like to join you guys. I want to know what you guys are doing. I want to be part of what you guys are doing, because at that time I had seen all the work that had been done. And I was like, I just want to rub elbows with these ladies. And that's kind of how I came involved with Pikes Peak Women.
I am Sienna Reeder, and at 35, I'm not sure I know who I am yet, guys. I grew up in Ohio. I moved out here in 2012, did my internship up in Breckenridge with the National Repertory Orchestra. So I worked for a nonprofit. From there on, I have just kind of been in the world of mostly marketing, was working kind of in admin and built my own like side freelance business in marketing, and then recently transitioned to a job in marketing at a local agency in town called NLA Media. And how I found Pikes Peak Women, well, the pandemic stopped their live event, and I have a friend who's very connected with Carol. And she reached out to me and said, hey, your friend recommended that maybe if we were going to do a podcast, like, you could help us, you kind of know things. Carol's like, we don't really have a budget. And I was like, that's fine. Tell me more about what I'm doing first before you're like, no, I don't have a budget, I can't pay you. And so I came to a meeting in, I think, Melissa's backyard for the first time. And we talked about what a podcast is and how you do a podcast. And I have been one of the younger members, the millennial tech help, as I like to call it, for the last couple years now, for real. So time flies by when you're having fun.
What is the most important thing that Pikes Peak Women has accomplished in 13 years?
For me, it's kind of twofold. So one is the fact that like myself and Kaylee and some of these other younger women were welcomed with open arms. That is not as common as you think it should be in the community. You know, when you're not at a certain level, you don't have a list of accomplishments in town that you can kind of show off. People don't often let you in the doors. For me, one of the biggest accomplishments of Pikes Peak Women is that they literally do support women. They welcome women into the circle and they uplift women in every way possible. And I think the second piece is the information we spread. I mean, I've learned so much just editing the podcast, but we tap into all kinds of issues in town, all kinds of women who are doing things and need support and need help that they may not get a chance to voice. So I think those are just two really big things.
One of the things for me, working out here and when I was doing Spanish radio out here and going out in the community, I didn't feel that acceptance. And I would have to say that absolutely have I felt that acceptance with Pike Speak Women. That has been one of the biggest things, because when I went to go meet with them at the golf course, I didn't know what to think of them, right? And when I started to hear them talk, when I started to hear their hearts, I think for me, that was one of the biggest things in supporting other women, not just certain type of women, they're just in general. And I can definitely piggyback what Sienna was saying, where it's just accepting other women and looking at important issues, right?
What do you think the future holds for Pike Speak Women?
So I would have to say I've seen it grow. When we had our first meetings, I remember we were talking about we're just a group of women that get together. And now what has sprouted from there is the Mary Lou Make Peace Foundation, right? So that to me is so exciting. That to me is a big accomplishment for Pikes Peak Women. I think Pikes Peak Women, we are very involved with that in supporting Mary Lou and all the work that she's done in supporting the Pikes Peak Women in itself. I see it growing. Not only with the growth that's coming in with Colorado Springs, but I feel like a lot of women are in the need of working with other women, to be surrounded by other women. And you know, 10, 15 years ago, women were like, oh no, I don't talk to other women. I don't want to hang out with other women because they're just full of drama, right? Now, in 2024, it's like, who is she? Can I get to know her? How can I embrace her? How can I help her? And I think that's kind of my vision for the Pikes Peak Women.
For me, I am hopeful for the future. I'm doing my best out there on the streets to recruit some younger people like me, people who want to get involved in whatever way they can, people who may not have connections here, because that was a big deal for me when I moved out here. I knew no one except one or two of my coworkers. And then when I lost that job, I basically knew no one. I had no connections, no one to recommend me, no one to give me advice. So that's kind of my hope for the future of Pikes Peak Women as we grow with all these amazing women who have had so many experiences and so many jobs and understand so much about like leading a life as a woman who's actually making some kind of impact. I hope that we can bring in more people, you know, 20s, 30s, you know, get these younger people in here to kind of give us fresh ideas, give us some fresh energy, but also like show them how it's actually done when you support other women. And I think for me, what I really think that the community needs, and we have kind of touched on it, is the way we highlight generations of leaders. You know, we highlight the young women who are leading, we highlight the older women who are leading. And I think as we continue to move forward, we can kind of look at those things.
So one of the things that I would like to see in the future, as we continue to grow, right, is kind of like the baby that was born through Pikes Peak Women, which was the Latina Equity Foundation. We said, well, there's certain needs that we want to take care of. You know, there's three initiatives were born from that. We didn't know we were going to be a foundation at the time, but we knew that there was going to be three initiatives that we really wanted to tackle. One of them was because during the pandemic, the most businesses that were open were Latina-owned businesses and Latina opening up businesses. So we did create a prosperity committee, which these group of women are actually getting together right now, because we're looking to build big mercado. So it's a big market and have a variety of Latina women business owners in the mercado. So that would be one of the initiatives for the prosperity committee. The second committee is education committee. So there we want to work with young Latinas. For some reason in the report that the AAUW reported to us was the fact that Latinas for some reason get to the 12th grade and then they drop out. And why? If they're there, they're at the finish line and they're not finishing. So that's where the committee was born, for the education. And then the third committee is the health and wellness committee. And right now, the chair of that committee, which is Corey Arcaris, she's actually working with other leaders in the medical field throughout the state to say, okay, let's look at the lifespan of a Latina and why do we have certain diseases or infections, or why do we have certain things going on in our health, and kind of looking at what that is. So it's now officially been 2 years that we started the Latina Equity Foundation.
I'm going to take the liberty of answering those questions myself. And so I would welcome you to push back on anything that I'm saying. This is Mary Lou Makepeace, and I was one of the organizing women. It's been called founders, but we were organizing. There was me and Mary Ellen McNally and Marcy. We came from another organization called Artemis, which was a women's organization. And I think it's safe to say that we wanted more. That was more of a social event and lovely women, and it was enjoyable, but we wanted something that was a little more proactive. And so we roped in Jan Martin and Beth Rolstead, Dee Sobel, and Lindy. And then we have new people like you. So we've expanded, but those were the founding women. I had just come off of being mayor of Colorado Springs, and I guess that my eyes hadn't been completely open when I was mayor, or maybe my voice was the one that was getting in the way, but I was stunned at the lack of women in the public sphere and felt that it was not necessarily my role to go ahead and have the voice. But we had these wonderful women here, and we should be hearing from them, and we should be hearing from other women in the community, and we saw how can we best do that. So 13 years ago, we were sitting in a coffee shop and more or less organizing. And the first thing we did was we partnered with the chancellor at UCCS, and together we brought in Lily Ledbetter, which turned out to be a big success. Lily Ledbetter was a woman who'd worked for, I can't even remember who she worked for, a big company, automotive company, and she had been passed over for raises and passed over for promotions, and despite her best efforts. And so I can't remember all the details that she went through, but she was treated pretty poorly. And the first legislation signed by Obama when he became president was the Fair Employment Act, where you could not be, it was not legal to discriminate people, women, based on the fact that they were women. Mm-hmm. And
she felt overlooked.
Pardon?
She was overlooked.
She was overlooked, yes.
For years.
She had
years.
Decades of experience working for that company. And we had a whole series of programs that we sponsored, maybe once every 6 weeks. We met and people came, and we were effectively shut down when COVID came around. In those beginning years, we had things like voting, what we thought was a very important issue, that women should vote, and supported the league. We how do you register to vote? I mean, we found that that was a basic question that people didn't understand, directing people to resources. Well, that went on for several years, and we were feeling successful. But then COVID came along, and we couldn't have our big meetings, our presentations, our discussions. And so what is the point of Pikes Peak Women if we can't bring women together? And by that time, we had recruited some younger women, newer women to town, and the suggestion came out that we start doing podcasts. Well, I was far from one of the younger women, and so I said, "What is a podcast?" And
you were not the only one.
Yeah. And then the younger women proceeded to educate me and asked me to be the host for the podcast. And I don't know how many. We must have had 60-some podcasts thus far. And I know people are listening because I run into people all the time. Just yesterday, I was meeting with a woman who is doing some research on important historic women, women of importance in history. And she said, "Oh, I listen to your podcast all the time. I really enjoy it." So I know we have numbers. I don't have the numbers before me, but it's now it's like,
well, should we continue doing the podcast? Is it needed? My personal answer is yes, I hope we continue to do the podcast. A little bit on my background is I moved here after being a military dependent, like many people who come to this community. My then husband and I decided to call it quits. And he moved on and I stayed here because I love, we'd been stationed here and I love Colorado Springs. Then I saw, Marcy, some of your comments echo my experiences. What am I going to do with my time? And I went on the Colorado Springs Planning Commission, which was interesting. But a few months after I went on the Planning Commission, one of the city council members retired for some inappropriate behavior. And I won't go into the details, but he was forced to resign. And so that created an opening on city council. And it's like, you know, I'd like to do that. I don't know much about the planning process, but I got a lot of ideas about the city. And so I applied. And I know there were a lot of people who applied. And surprisingly to me anyway, I got appointed. I told my husband, guess what? I got appointed to the city council. And his response was, oh, you're kidding. So I don't know that I was the expected candidate. Anyway, that was a long time ago. And I served, I don't know, five terms. And then when Bob Isaac stepped down, and that created an opening for the mayorship. And I ran for that position and was successful. And so far, I'm the first and only woman to fill that role. One of my personal goals is let's get more women who can run for city council and the mayorship. But that's up to all the women who might be listening. I think that's enough about me. Let's talk about some of the other things that we discussed. I came to Pikes Peak Women because I saw that there was not much space allocated in our community to women's voices. And here was an opportunity to have women's voices lifted up. I think the most important thing that Pikes Peak Women has accomplished over the last 13 years, I kind of go with what Marcy Morrison said, we survived. That was an accomplishment that hadn't been done before. But I think we've been successful in lifting up a number of issues from, Lily Ledbetter was really a home run and hit it out of the park when she talked about how women can be treated in the workforce and that it was no longer legal to do that. I'm sure that there are situations going on. Not everybody is going to sue, but it's wrong. So that has been established that that is wrong, a wrong way to treat anybody, and certainly a wrong woman way to treat women. We have lifted up a number of issues, and one of the things that has happened fairly recently is we coalesced a group of Latinas who are active in the community. And we had a report that had been done by the Women's Foundation in Denver, a report of how women are behind in education and employment, a whole host of things. And we said, we can't do this. You can do it. And they really caught the bug. And they proceeded to organize themselves. They were organized, but they weren't collaborating together. And so one of the exciting things that they have planned in the future is to establish a Mercada in Colorado Springs. And if you've been to Santa Fe or places like that, you know that it's a very lively commercial area with lots of music and food and other cultural things. And I was very pleased with one of the leaders who said, you know, we were all doing things, but we weren't cooperating, and we wouldn't have cooperated if it hadn't been for Pikes Peak Women. That was such a high compliment, and we treasure what they're doing. And then what's in the future? Well, I don't have a crystal ball. I think the podcast is still meeting a demand, and I think it will until we're not. We have several younger women who are just as enthusiastic about the need for women's voices to be heard. In fact, we depend on them for their technical skills on how to do the podcast and other things. We're going to start getting into some in-person programming. I don't know what that's going to look like. We're talking about that now. But I don't think Pikes Peak Women is going away anytime in the near future. And if there are people listening who are interested, there are no dues. We're loosely organized. You want to be a member? Give us your information so you can be contacted when we're doing things. I don't know what number we're using, but I'll get that information before we're done here. You can either look us up online or give one of us a phone call. But I think, like I say, I don't think Pikes Peak Women is going anywhere very soon.
It's ironic that you just said that. Your parting words, you might say. I got a call this morning about 20 minutes before I left from someone who said, I listen to podcasts all the time. I was just telling our director over here. And she said, I want to know more about it. And I told her. And she said, well, I'm not young. And I said, that's okay. And we had an interesting conversation. And we chatted for about 10 minutes. And I said, well, I have to leave. It so happens I am going to participate in a podcast today. And she got very excited and wanted my email and wanted to contact me. And I said, I would be delighted to take your information and pass it forward. And I think she will.
And that's great.
But that was just a coincidence. Mm-hmm. She wanted to, when she said hello to me, she said, I don't think you may know me. And then she gave me her name. And it so happened I really didn't know her name. But that didn't stop her. She continued to chat with me. And we'll see, but that is how it starts sometimes. It's That's somebody right. who knows
Touch
you
something.
Or thinks you, they know you.
And well, we've had a number of younger women who have joined, but as you say, not everybody who's interested is in the category of younger women. We have lots of experienced women who mm-hmm. see the need for this kind of voice.
Correct. Because they bring so much more experiences to the table because of their life. It's just their life experiences. It makes it a very valuable tool in an organization like ours, because we have to have people from different points of view and that they can express them and find out that they really enjoy this opportunity. And so we have to encourage them to enjoy the opportunity to participate.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's it. I've got all my notes here from Lindy, and I think we've covered everything. So thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to Elevating Pikes Peak Women. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if so, please consider leaving a review wherever you listen to podcasts or share with your friends on social media or in person. For more information, check out our show notes. If you are interested in learning more about Pikes Peak Women, visit us on Facebook. Until our next episode, I'm your host, Mary Lou Makepeace.